We're back once again. It is that time of the week where your Philadelphia Eagle buds get back together and discuss the game from the week before. Anyway, we're here. It is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. And we want to thank everybody for being here. If you are watching us on Facebook Live, or if you're watching us on Twitch or YouTube, we're glad you made it. If you're listening to us on one of the many podcast providers we have out there, again, we want to say thank you. Right now, we are on a ton of providers. Just to mention a few, we're on Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, iTunes, and Castro. So there's no reason that you can't find us on one of those and give us a follow and a subscribe. And each and every week, no matter where you're at, and no matter what the Eagles are doing, winning or losing, you're going to hear about it from us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. How you doing, Tubby? It's good to see you again, man.
Man, thanks, man. Thanks, man. Not doing good, man. Yeah. After a Dallas loss, just never a good feeling going into the week.
Yeah.
Got to hear from all your Dallas Cowboys friends, and it's just it's not a good look.
Well, Tubby, you're on your AirPods today, so you don't have the regular mic set up because you're in the process of moving into a new place, getting everything set up. So
bare bones. I'm down to bare bones right now.
That sucks when you have to move like that. And you're already down from the Eagles losing because, you know, face it, a loss is a loss, and that's rough. But to lose to the Cowboys, it's just a whole nother degradation.
I didn't want to break in my new house with a loss to the Cowboys.
Who does? I tell you how I'm feeling right now. I'm tell you exactly how I'm feeling. This is how I felt about the third quarter of that Cowboys game, and I'm sitting in there. I think my wife probably heard me from the upstairs bedroom. This is how I felt.
Again,
and that was pretty much it, because that's how I felt. You know,
felt the same way, man. Especially by the time the third quarter came around.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, is that the 49er game being what it was, there were missed opportunities, but we could look at that and go, okay, you know, that's not really maybe who this team is. They just made some mistakes, some bad coaching decisions. Hurts made some mistakes, and they missed some opportunities. But they should be able to clean that up with a lot of practice going forward, and then at least give the Cowboys a game. But that's not exactly what happened on Monday night, did it?
That's not what happened at all. I think this is a game where a lot of the fears that you mentioned, they all came to fruition.
Yeah.
Just right out, right in front of our face. We won. Stopping the run, not tackling, our linebackers, they exploited all of it. And our bad decision-making ended up costing us big time in this game.
Yeah, I mean, there was some coaching issues in this game. There was a lot of things. And it was things that we talked about last week. It was like you said, all of our fears that we thought going into this game, you know, actually came true. It was what we thought was going to happen. The weakness at linebacker, the problem maybe with the run game a little bit, but the problem is we didn't even run the ball, so we don't even know what happened there. The decision-making of our head coach and inexperience of our quarterback. We had all those fears, and we ended up getting the perfect storm of situation with the game on Monday night. You're right. It happened. I want to think it's a dream. I want to think it's a nightmare, but it happened. As I said,
it happened.
That's how it felt.
Oh no! We suck again.
And that's basically it. I can't say that enough. Are you drinking tonight?
I got a little tequila.
Oh, hey, there you go. I'm actually scotch last week, going beer. Some Carlsberg lager in the Eagles cup. I figured beer was needed. because I think for crying into something, there's nothing better than good old beer. So cheers to my buddy.
Cheers.
We're going to talk about this silly thing. But before we do, I do want to mention that I am today trying to ward off the bad juju. I've got Nick Foles' jersey on today.
Okay.
So we need some magic. We need to bring that magic back from 2017. I've been rubbing the Nick Foles Believe It book over and over. I'm not kidding. And I've got the ring. I've got the ring as well. I've got the Super Bowl ring. You can see that in the camera there. There's a Super Bowl ring. And it's the Nick Foles one. So you look at the side there, Nick Foles, number 9. Super Bowl ring. So I got that going on as well. So I'm trying to ward off the bad thing that happened on Monday. And hopefully that's not a sign of things going forward. Kind of hard to think that it might not be, but hey, it's only week 3. It can't get any worse. So
it can. Consider we have Kansas City coming in this week, but I feel you.
Yeah.
If you're using good Eagles memories as your sage, then I understand to ward off those bad spirits, man. I could dig it.
Yeah.
And especially after the Cowboys loss and having our good friend Andy coming into town this week, man. But got a lot to talk about when it comes to these guys.
And let's get through these highlights as quickly and as painlessly as possible. So we're just going to start. And tonight we're going to do a little bit laid back thing. We're going to get through this and just drink and enjoy our company as Eagles fans. It's a support group this week, so let's just deal with it, all right? So first quarter, Cowboys get the ball first, and they do what they do. Dak Prescott coming down the field, and easy pass to the tight end. They did that a lot on Monday night. And then later on in the same drive, first drive for the Cowboys, Dak back to pass, throws over the middle to Tony Pollard there for a big gain, 8-yard gain. Still in the same drive, little run there by Ezekiel Elliott, big run by there. We did not stop the run all night long. And then still in the same drive, Dak back to pass from the 45. Deep ball, where is the coverage? CeeDee Lamb down at the 1-yard line. The next play after that is pretty much automatic. You got Zeke lined up in the I formation there. Tight formation, goal line, boom. Zeke gets in for the touchdown. So looking at that first drive, the first drive of the Cowboys was pretty much, we didn't stop anything. Well, I don't even know if we put any pressure on Dak at all. The formation was set up with the two linebackers, sometimes three, but mostly we had Epps out there and we had our two corners. So Epps was playing, and then we had Kevon Wallace playing the other safety because Rodney McLeod was out, and then Anthony Harris was out there. So that was our basic lineup, and they didn't stop anything. And you just saw it on those first highlights. They did not stop anything on that first drive.
Yeah, man. You know, when it's always hard to stop a team's scripted plays, you know, those first 15 scripted plays are the hardest plays to stop.
Yeah.
And they all worked. Everything they wanted, it just didn't really matter. Anything they called, it worked, and it happened the rest of the game. When it came to Zeke, Pollard, you name it, they got whatever they wanted, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, on the goal line, you know, granted, that's what you expect your back to do. Ours didn't do that against the 49ers last week, but theirs did.
No doubt.
But you look at that drive from the beginning, you got a throw over the middle to Schultz, their tight end. Again, I'm going to start it right now, but this is going to be an ongoing theme for this game and the rest of the season. Our linebackers are trash. They're complete and utter trash to the point where they make me angry almost. And it's nothing personal against them. I'm mad it goes on Howie Roseman for so devaluing that position in every single draft for the last 3 or 4 years. We have not drafted a linebacker in the last 3 years outside of the seventh round. It's ridiculous. And so you've got guys like Jannard Avery, Eric Wilson, and Singleton, mostly Singleton and Wilson, and we texted back and forth during the game. Look at these guys. Where are they? They're back off the line of scrimmage, so they're not doing gap discipline to stop the run, but then they're not covering the pass because they're letting Schultz catch everything in front of them.
Definitely a mismatch.
Again,
Schultz or Jarwin.
Yeah.
Man, Singleton sometimes, he just looked too small. He was a step slow, but he was still too small.
Yeah.
To cover like that. And then, you know, the Eagles, like you said, you know, we may have picked up a few linebackers here and there in the draft, but we didn't put emphasis on it even in free agency when there were guys out there. I see Jamie Collins came available. I said, we'll take Jamie Collins. I know you can't start for the Lions, but we'll take somebody. You know, somebody can give us some fire. He's a big linebacker.
Yeah, exactly. And I know he's 30, 31 years old, but that's the kind of move Roseman will not make. He won't give up draft capital to get us a decent linebacker or somebody that might help us out when we're really struggling in that position. But then he won't draft in that position, and that's what's so frustrating. Now, they showed a statistic or a graph during the Cowboys game of last year's draft for them, and it was all defensive players across the board because what was the Cowboys' biggest struggle last year was on defense. Well, guess what our biggest struggle is going to be this year? It's going to be that defense, and it isn't McLeod's fault. It isn't Harris's fault. It isn't Slay's fault, and it isn't Nelson's fault. It's those guys in the middle. The front four doing their job. It's those guys in the middle going to kill us every time. And a part of it is we talked about last week, Jonathan Gannon's, you know, bend but don't break, sit back and let them catch the ball in front of you. That's going to get you beat every time. And in this game, this first possession was just a sign of things to come, and he didn't adjust. He wouldn't go to a steady man output when you've got guys like Slay and Nelson that can cover in man. Let them get beat if they get beat. Let them get PIs if they get PIs. But don't just sit there and let the Cowboys have their way with you in the passing game. That's bad enough. But I think the passing game for them, that was really good. It was always there when they needed it. But it was really the run game that killed us. And we saw that with those running plays to Zeke, where there was just no Eagles at home. And again, it goes back to looking at the gap discipline, seeing that the Cowboys offensive line was pinching outward against our defensive ends and tackles, making those huge gaps, and there's no linebackers to fill that space and make those tackles. And that was key. But it is not a good...
You just described the entire game right now.
I know. And we're going to see more of it. So let's pick this up. We actually end up getting the ball for our first possession after the Cowboys touchdown, and things started off pretty well. I mean, you know, Hurts gets out there, he does a little play fake, backs up, throws over the middle. We get Goddard for a huge gain, which was just, you know, it set the tone. Okay, hey, we got something going. Maybe we can work against this Cowboys defense. And then this happens: a play to Jalen Reagor, way underthrown, and then Brown picks it off in the end zone. And you know, there comes, you know, we've talked about it with Jalen Hurts in this situation, is his propensity to underthrow the ball. He says, I'd rather be over than under in my passing game, but yet he consistently throws under. And I think what you send to me in a text during that play was something like lazy throw, like something along those lines.
I said, if you're going to get that much time, you have to step into that ball. Mm. And throw. If you're going to get that time, just step in and throw the ball. So that was just my biggest thing. It was just, you didn't put any info into the ball. You have Ray, you have that step, and that's just one step. You drive that ball. That's a touchdown. And these plays like that, yeah, when you look at the score sheet, you go, man, the Eagles only had three plays that drive and an interception, but that's a touchdown there. And it's 7-7.
Yeah.
And that happened in every game this year, really.
Yeah, we saw it against the 49ers for sure, was all those balls to Devontae Smith that if he throws it out in front of him, then Devontae's got a good chance to make that catch. But when he throws it underneath, and it wasn't badly underthrown. It's like not enough to where in the Niners game where they could have picked it off, but he let them always make plays on the ball. And then this one to Brown, it was just badly underthrown and double coverage. You had the safety help coming over. And like you said, so much time, why can't you put the ball a little bit out there, a little bit further, and give Reagor a chance to get it? It was bad. But
right, if you have Mike Evans, he can come back and make that catch. But when you have Jalen Reagor, who's 6 foot.
No, exactly.
You got to put that ball on the money.
So we were, you know, a little bit down, but not out. I mean, I was kind of nervous. Hey, let's not give the ball back to the Cowboys. So they come out in the next possession, 2nd and 6. Dak back to pass, and then boom, Hargrave and Cox, baby. And he intercepts that ball in the end zone. It was tipped. I don't, you know, I'm actually wondering if that ball had hit the ground, if the good old refs would have gotten involved and said that maybe it was an incomplete pass. Because you saw them start to discuss the situation. But then when all was said and done, it was picked out of thin air by Fletcher. He just picked it. Hargrave got the hit, boom, ball up in the air, and Fletcher comes down with it. So now we're back in it. Now, hey, it's not too bad. It's all good now. We're 7-7, and that's probably
that's probably
as good as it got the rest of the night. But whatever, what are you going to do? It is what it is, like I like to say each and every week, but especially in a loss. So we come back, Cowboys get the ball after the kickoff. It's now 7-7. Comes Dak back to pass. Again, wide open to Amari Cooper for a first down, not even trying to stop him. And then the next play after this, Dak, another handoff to Zeke. Look at no gaps. No gap discipline. Nobody covering that edge. Again, now you got Pollard in there. Same thing, coming around the edge. Nobody stopping him. No fierceness on the defense. Look at where the linebackers are playing. And then they just move back in the pass game. Again, and this is, okay, we can talk about this for a real quick second. Because we know what happened in this situation. We saw their defenders coming early on our players. I mean, two or three ticks early. That play there to Slay was not PI. I mean, I'm sorry, and that's the first bad call of the night, in my opinion, of many. Now, granted, Cowboys kicked their butt, but they still got their really bad calls like they always get, and that was a big one right there. That should have been considered not PI, but it was, and very disappointing. He's in position, he makes a play, and yet they call that on Slay. So we'll go back, and that keeps the drive going. They're inside the 30. Dak back to pass. Another one to Schultz. Nobody's stopping him. Nobody can tackle Schultz. You can't bring him down. It's ridiculous. Then they get another personal foul, face mask on top of it. More penalties for the Eagles. That one's on Epps as he's coming through and gets that on Schultz. So again, more penalties for the Eagles, which that one was an earned penalty, and they had a lot of their own earned ones. Again, muscling through our defense like it was butter. It's embarrassing almost the way they were able to run on us. And then on third and goal, this play. Now, this was a huge play because Slay stops Zeke at the goal line. That was huge. And the knees down. If he doesn't make that play, it's a definite touchdown. So great play by Slay. He's definitely one of our MVPs. And this one was huge. Again, early in the game, it was huge. Now, you can say that Dak got over the line. He probably did get over the line of scrimmage going over there with the ball. But like we talked about during the game, his momentum is stopped and the whistle, I thought, blew before he got over, because that was all second effort where he went over the line. And you can't see on that replay. And then Dak gets a look at it, and he is just stunned that it's not a touchdown. So Eagles get the ball back, but that was a huge play by Slay to keep that going. So
And who he made the play on. To tackle Zeke out in the open field like that is something big time, man. Zeke has been running through guys all day. For Slay to come out there, our corner, come out there, boom. I mean, it's a touchdown saving tackle and ends up for a turnover. So that's huge for us, man. And I you know, when we were texting back and forth, I told you, I said, man, that was that second effort.
Yeah.
From that. That just that second effort. And you can't get infinite amount of time at the goal. This is a scrum. They have to blow the whistle at some point. They'll give you a little time, but when you see the reps coming down the line waving, the play is over. And I think that's when Dak made the second effort and got it in. And the call on the field stand was the best call they could have did there.
I agree. I think Cowboys fans would disagree, but we're Eagles fans, and so we agree that he was his forward progress was stopped. That's why the officials called it down. And when they looked at the replay, I don't know if they have sound where they can hear it on those replays. I really don't know. But New York is involved, so they probably could hear it. So because it was called down on the field, the play stood. They didn't say it was confirmed. It just that's what it is. So. All right, so after that, the Eagles get the ball in on the 6-yard line because of the stop. And this was just a horrible play by Hurts. Backing up in his own end zone, it almost got a safety there. And then, you know, luckily to get the ball away. So then we end up punting, goes back to Pollard, and then here we go again. It's just constant run after run. Dak backing up, throwing over the middle to Schultz again. Again, Epps on the coverage. So mismatched against Schultz there. It's unbelievable. And then you look at our linebackers right here. They're just basically out there to do nothing. Look, just run right through them. Pollard, run right through them. Here's our three linebackers in the 4-3 formation. Dak back to pass. Nobody there. Nobody there. On the play, the linebackers just let him go. And no one knew who to go with him. They were just standing in that zone, in that deep zone. And it was just a mystery on who was supposed to cover there. And so they came up with the on the receiver. So that really was Singleton's man, was Schultz. But yet he just stood in his zone and let it come right over the top. And it's, I don't know if it's a coaching thing and then they're trying to learn their discipline within their zone, but they're definitely, the way I was taught, you know, was when I played football, was that when that person comes into your zone, you follow them in and out of your zone and you stay with them until that you no longer have responsibility in that zone. So they're not even playing that right on textbook football. And here I am, you know, I never played pro football. I'll preface that. But
you know, in that zone play, I couldn't really tell if Singleton it was in his zone, but when he turned around, I would have just imagined that he was in his zone because he kind of just jumped and tried to swat the ball down versus continue. I think it was just a blown coverage over top. Somebody was supposed to stay up top, may have gotten sucked in because it was a good play. You know, maybe we got caught looking into the backfield and like, uh-oh, Schultz is now sneaking out. And Singleton is really supposed to be there in his zone. Yeah. Probably doing the right thing, and somebody wasn't over the top. I don't know if that corner was supposed to get up and play the deep third, or the safety was supposed to stay back there. I'm not sure. But another thing you'll notice in that drive, when you're saying it's a 4-3-3, you notice one of those is a defensive back.
Right.
Every single time. So they know we have a weak guy in there. Every time that lineman can just get out and wash that defensive back, man. They just had the right scheme against us in every single way, man. They just kept getting to the second level. Their backs weren't getting touched all game until about 5 yards.
Yeah, if you look at that, you're right. It is mostly like a nickel coverage, but the nickel corner is staying in that in the 4-3, and they can't make a play. We very rarely run three linebackers in there, and that is a killer when you're trying to stop the run. And again, there was no sign of stopping the run the entire game. And like you said about the blown coverage, if it wasn't zone, then it's just bad coverage. And it was something that repeated all night long. What I noticed was they did run a lot of cover too. And it was very easy for Dak. He didn't even have to pass that much, but it was easy for him to find those gaps in the zone. I think when they switched to a man for briefly in the third quarter, they started to get some stops, and then they went right away from it. So I couldn't understand why, when the man defense worked, that they went away from it. But we'll talk about that later. We'll pick it up in the first quarter still. Eagles now with another possession, their second possession of the game. Still only down 14-7 at this point. So Hurts is getting the ball, going back. A little screen to Sanders, which we should have saw some more of this. Unfortunately, we didn't, because that's one of Sanders' big moments of the game was the screen play. And then another play there, and then this was just incredible right at the end of the quarter. Hurts just goes down in a heap. I don't know what he was doing on that option. He went the wrong way. He read that option completely wrong, and he got stuffed. Then he comes out, next snap of the ball, he goes to Ertz, and again, getting hit early. If you look at this in slow motion, Ertz gets hit early, but they don't get the call on it. So it is, you know, what we expect when we see a Cowboy game. Cowboys get the ball back in the second quarter. Again, easy passing down the line, and then Dak, continual. There's nobody there. You see Singleton, you know, just can't cover. He just can't cover. And Schultz picks up the play right away. And then we got Zeke again running through the line like no one was there. There's nobody home. Next play, handoff to Pollard.
8 yards, easy.
Every single play. It was I've never seen a team get run on so bad. There was no reason for the Cowboys to pass. Dak rollout again. Over to the tight end. Singleton in coverage, nothing. Now it was so easy for them to move down the field. It was ridiculous. The screen play, which the Eagles have been biting on all year long. Zeke takes it down to the 8-yard line. Next play, Dak to Zeke. Again, nobody stopping him. A flag, I forget who that was on, but just a holding call on the Cowboys that time. They get the ball, so they're now on the 19. Dak gets the ball, another run to Zeke, and there's still nobody home. Almost the same exact play, and I think this was the play. This was the thing that cracked me up, was if you watch the broadcast, do you remember what Dak Prescott yelled out there before that play was snapped? He yelled an audible.
Like comet, red comet?
Mm-mm. He yelled Bob Ross. So they're down there, and it was Ross. it was second and goal. They just got a holding penalty. And so they had, you know, they backed up to the 19. So second and goal from the 19. And Dak Prescott goes down to the line of scrimmage, yells, "Bob Ross, Bob Ross." Brian Griese, the ESPN announcer, says, "Okay, so either call him Bob Ross. Bob Ross was a painter. This is going to be a draw play." Now, if Brian Griese, absolutely, who is a quarterback and knows how things work, can hear Bob Ross and immediately, and I'm snapping my fingers, immediately know that it's a draw play, what's that defense doing? Just bit.
100%. That's a good point, man. I thought the same thing. I was like, man, how is this old dude, Griese, hasn't played since the 40s? And he still knows.
Hey, I'm a Michigan
fan.
That's
a draw? That guys don't know? I'll just flash.
He is old. I'm a Michigan fan, and in 1997, he did take the Wolverines to a national championship with Charles Woodson and company. So he's my boy. He went Tony Romo. He went full Tony Romo right there, where he just called the play. And the Eagles did what they've been doing the whole game. They don't seem to have a clue on how to read the defense, to read the offense when they're out there on defense. Remember when, you know, like I said, we talked about it last week in the linebackers. We're having that field general like Jeremiah Trotter or Hicks that could, well, let's go back to one of the greatest all time field generals at linebacker, Mike Singletary. That guy could look at that offense and he was always calling the plays for the defense. We don't have a guy like that. And there's very few teams in the NFL that do, but we especially do not, because we look ridiculous on defense in this game, especially the 49er game. Again, we made mistakes and we looked good defensively. We looked pretty good for three quarters, and we know that, but we were against a team that really didn't have too much going on offense. But this team, we knew better. We knew what they had, and we didn't plan for their weaknesses. We played to their strengths. We let them come at us. So anyway, it's sad. And then again, final play, Zeke into the end zone. Very easy. Now it's 21. Actually, I think they missed the extra point here. So it was 20-7 early in this, midway through the second quarter. 7-10 left in. And I think this was the missed extra point. Yeah, missed extra point there for the Cowboys. So 20-7 with 7-10 left in the half. Hurts and company get another possession. Here we go, Sanders. Look at this. Sanders. All right, we're going to pause it right there. Look at that massive run. Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that a beautiful run?
Absolutely. I think that's one of two carries all day.
Yeah, one of two carries. Now, explain to me, when you're in a game against a division rival and your running back breaks off on his first carry, because that was his first carry of the game, and that's it. That's it.
It just shows our lack of identity.
Yeah.
Offensively, which I, you know, I've been talking to you about off and on. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know who's. I'm just really speechless when it comes to the offense right now. I just think they can put together a drive here and there, but it's nothing consistent. That's why we have a lot of three and outs, because we don't have anything consistent that we're doing.
Right, and we're not happy. But again, talking about Sanders breaking off a huge run and not getting another carry. Except for one more carry the rest of the game. Eagles get the ball back, still down 20-7. There's the one of the shining bright spots was when Hurts hit Devontae Smith for a nice gain, nice 20-yard gain, and then boom, connection there. Our offensive line without Maialato struggled, without Brandon Brooks struggled, but Hurts still had plenty of time in this game. So here's another screen pass to Sanders. Again, screen working extremely well. Gets us down to the 50-yard line, but it's fourth down. That was the end of the half. That's right. So let's talk about that real quick. So that play, you know, coming down to the end of the half, it's a lot of controversy in Dallas right now because the Eagles were struggling to move the ball. So I want to give a big shout-out to Mike McCarthy. Thank you, sir, because without him not calling timeouts and just letting the half run out, it could have been 50 points or more that they dropped on us. But he gave us false hope by, once we got to that 4th and 5, letting us not even punt until the clock was almost down, I think 18 seconds, somewhere on the, just let the clock run. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. You would think with a coach with a Super Bowl ring would know a little bit better.
Yeah, you would.
you would just think so, man. But that wasn't the case. And that's when I texted. I said, man, I'm so glad he didn't out there because we needed a breather, man. We were hurting.
Yeah, it was a bad half. And then like I said, it was down 27 and a half, but we still coming out first with the ball, which was important. So that was at the start of the third quarter. We got another big play to Goddard, which has not happened a lot this year. And then get down across the 50, which we've done a little bit this year. And there comes the pick six. This is a play that never should have happened. But again, we got a guy that's starting his seventh game in the NFL. He's not experienced, and we know that. And that clearly was Devontae Smith falling on the play and Hurts following through with the read, but not reading the corner's movement, that the corner was already prepared to make a play on that ball. And unfortunately, it was a timing route, and Hurts let it go, and now we're down 27. To seven, just like that.
Do you remember last week when Smith got the pass interference call? And I said, man, I know we got the pass interference call there, but that could have been a pick six. It's the same play.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the same play.
Are you talking about the one on Norman? Results. The one on Norman. Yeah, where Norman came up underneath. The ball was, and luckily for us, yeah, like you said, the ball was underthrown. So Norman could have easily picked it off and taken it to the house had that ball been thrown any better. We're not going to dwell on this too much longer on this game because I don't want to spend too much time on it. We don't need to go through the whole game. At this point, the pick six, I would say, I don't know what your turning point of the game is, but I would guess it was right there. It was a big turning point. That interception down when we came out of the, if you score a touchdown there coming out of the half, it's 20-14, and it's a whole totally different ball game. The pick six changed everything.
All and the momentum you just felt when you looked at Hurts, he just looks deflated, and then he comes right back out, and he looked a little rattled, throwing the ball around at the three and out. It was really the pick six, and then the three and out after it.
Yeah,
it was like uh-oh.
And he looked like
he can't stop the run. They're averaging 5.5 yards a carry at least for both backs. So we were in trouble, man. You got a team running the ball that well and you're down, it's just doomed for you guys.
Yeah, and he looked like he was mad at everybody. I mean, he was the one that was throwing erratically, but you could tell he was rattled and his confidence was gone. And I think I texted you at that time. I said, he's got to get it together because the whole team's going to fall apart, offensive and defensively. If the field general falls apart, we all fall apart. And and that's what was happening right after that possession. You're right. So it would just go a little bit further after that. It was bad for Hurts. He walked off dejected. They come back out again, like you said, and then he's just erratic. He's all over the place, trying to take off running, really not getting much of anything. He really, his confidence had been shaken, so he wasn't going back downfield. Cowboys get the ball. We're now 27-7. This was a good play by Hargrave. Hargrave, to me, is the shining star on this defense right now. Without Hargrave doing what he does, I don't know where we would be. But then the Eagles come back out and give another big gainer to Zeke, and it just keeps going. They ended up punting on that drive for a change, and then Hurts comes back out and is doing what he's doing, down to another 3rd and 8 with 9 minutes and 48 seconds left in the third quarter. Hurts throwing a deep ball. Great catch right there by Quez Watkins, and then a penalty on top of it. So you think, okay, they got to, you know, they're throwing up bombs and they're doing something. And the penalty was on the Cowboys, so they end up taking it there at the 47-yard line. Hurts again trying to run out, getting a few yards there with his feet. So now we got a 2nd and 1 from the 36-yard line. Great, almost underthrown to Ertz, but Ertz picks up the pass, takes it down to the 10-yard line. And then now we're sitting there on the 11-yard line, 2nd and 10 with Hurts running out through the pocket, going down, gets taken down at the 4-yard line. At the 3, actually. And then now we've got 3rd and 2 from the 3. Great play to Ertz. Boom. Now it's 27-14. So we're back in it a little bit. But now is key. Like, there's still so much time left in the game. You've got third quarter with 6 minutes left. Now is where your defense has to come up with a stop. And they end up going right back to Cedric Wilson. The defense can't seem to stop the pass or the run. Dak comes out. That was almost a play by Sweat, almost a great play by Sweat, but he doesn't get him. CeeDee Lamb ends up with the reception, ends up on the 45. Dak again. This now Sweat does get Dak for a good sack at the 50-yard line, which was another good play. Without Graham there, we're going to need a lot more of that from Josh Sweat. That's for certain. So now we get the ball back. Hey, we're down 27-14. We still got 2 minutes. I said to myself, if the Eagles could come away, and again, third and 11, another big play by the defense by Diggs. Trayvon Diggs, like I said, came up huge. I said last week, Trayvon Diggs, don't throw his way. But they kept throwing it his way. He did the pick six right there, and then he was blanketing our receivers. Not saying that we're trying to force it, but you've got to be better with your reads. There was a lot of times those tight ends are open. You saw Goddard on these big plays being open, but we talked about it last week with Hurts where he gets tunnel vision on his wide receivers. He has to focus a little bit more on finding the open man because right there, that play with Trayvon Diggs, that wasn't the open man. And I said to myself, after they got the score and then they got the sack on Dak by Josh Sweat, which was huge. All right, it's 27-14. If we leave the third quarter, 27-21, we're in great shape. But it had to happen. And so you had a third and 11 play, misread by the quarterback, and it just didn't happen for us. That's a Timmy Case there watching on Facebook Live. He's a big Cowboys fan, one of the ones who's given me a lot of grief about the Eagles losing. But we're old friends. And that's a thing that we talked about before the show. Was why do we have so many Cowboys fans as friends? Because we know that after a loss like this, we're going to hear it and we're going to have to deal with it. And to me, this is
the best trolls. But shout out to Timmy. Appreciate you stopping by, checking us out.
Well, the thing is that I can't help, especially like we're both former military. So we know people from all over the world. And you know, you can't help who your friends are. And they're good friends. They just happen to like the wrong team. Can't do anything about that. But it's all good. We love you, Timmy. We love all of our Cowboys fans, friends. We just don't love the Cowboys. So, but this is our therapy, is being able, when we have a loss like this, to be able to talk about it and come through. So, again, like I said, we get out of that play. The Cowboys get the ball back, and now it's 27-14 at the end of the third quarter. Dak with the ball. Again, another play to Cooper. No coverage by the defense. Oh, across the 50 yet again. Play to the tight end, to Schultz, boom, down to the 30. Again, no cover. You can't even tackle him. Singleton tackling 10 yards after the line of scrimmage. It's just insane. And then you got Zeke running right through the defense like it was nothing, like not even there. And then we're down, Zeke again, first down, can't stop him. And then we get down to the 10-yard line, second and goal. Dak looking. Great sack there. Almost could have been called a helmet to helmet, I ain't going to lie. On Edwards. That's one of our backup, TJ Edwards, one of our backup linebackers. And then on third and goal, Dak takes off running, and he gets brought down at the 2-yard line. So now they have a fourth down goal to make. Do they get it? What do you think? Dak looking. Back of the end zone. Cedric Wilson. Again, linebacker not covering, Slay not covering. I watched this play, and it seemed to me like what ended up happening was what I saw on that play, and that's the last highlight we're going to look at. What I saw on that play was that Cedric Wilson went to the back of the end zone. Darius Slay had coverage on him, but then saw Dak rolling out and was so worried about Dak running for the goal line that he pulled off and left Wilson in the back of the end zone. And I love Slay, but that was a cardinal sin. And if you watch the tape, you can see it clear as day that Slay had the coverage. Edwards had Dak. If Dak takes off running for the end zone, Edwards is going to make that play. There's nobody between him and Dak, but yet Slay still comes off the ball. When his responsibility was Wilson, and he left
then
him.
Then he turns around, the first thing he does is talk to
Edwards.
57. Yeah. Edwards, he says, what are you doing? He's like, what are you doing? That's your guy. You're supposed to stay with him in the back. I had the quarterback. That was my responsibility. You were following him the whole time. Why stop now?
Yeah, exactly.
So, at this point, it was just, at this point, the guys were on their heels. If you watch every play, you see the Cowboys getting a hat on hat, and you see our guys just flat-footed, almost just absorbing the blow. They're just not really sure where the run is coming from. They're not sure which hole to hit. They're just kind of flat-footed across. They're just waiting. They're not dictating pace. They're not dictating the line of scrimmage. They're just waiting, and you just see Cowboys getting a hat on the hat, man. They look really motivated in the run game. and it helped them out tremendously in that game. I think that was the big difference in the game, was the Cowboys being able to average over 5 yards a carry.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. It was demoralizing, because I don't think I've ever seen that lopsided of a defeat in the Cowboys rivalry in all the years I've been watching the sport. I think I've seen some big wins, but they always came down to the end, you know, even if we lost by 2 touchdowns. That was pure and utter embarrassment. In fact, it was so funny, not funny, but looking at some of the headlines this week, that Merrill Reese, our longtime, you know, announcer for the Philadelphia Eagles, been announcing Eagles games since 1974. And for like the last 20 some odd years with Mike Quick, he actually said before the start of the third quarter, hey, the Eagles are receiving the kickoff to start the third quarter. I'm not sure that's a good thing. And this is our longtime fan and announcer. He actually said at one point in the game, this seems oddly familiar. Didn't something like this happen at the Little Bighorn? I mean, just talking about a massacre. And, you know, this is Merrill Reese, who was one of the biggest ups. And he could tell that he was devastated at how badly the effort was for the Eagles. I don't think I've seen them have that much lack of effort on defense. Now, there was some shining stars. We talked about it. Hargrave, without Hargrave, it would have been a total embarrassment. Cox had some moments, but Cox has not been providing the pressure that he did 3 or 4 years ago. And, of course, we should talk about right now, before we get into the stats, Derek Barnett. And if he wasn't so big, I'd have a talk with that guy. But there was at one point in the game where Derek Barnett got a personal foul penalty again. He got an offside penalty again. He's hurting the Eagles left and right on every single drive. And they showed Nick Sirianni on the sideline look at one of his assistants, and they could read his lips that said, it's always him when they get some call like that. Now, you know, your coach knows that you are creating more problems than you are producing results on the field. And so that's an issue. And of course, we talked about the linebackers. We know our corners are good. We're hurting at the safety position. Now, especially, you know, McLeod goes out. And then in the fourth quarter, I believe, Kevon Wallace ends up out. And so now we're hurting at that position as well. Defensively, it just doesn't look good. It was a bad, bad game. We're not even going to talk about the fourth quarter, because even though Jalen got a couple of good plays in and they scored a garbage touchdown, it didn't mean anything. It was over by that point. It was over after that last touchdown we just saw.
Let me put something. Remember on that fourth down call when we didn't get it? Jalen kind of ran out. He I don't know if it was a bootleg. It was just a play that just looked bad and it didn't work. And I don't know if he threw the ball away or just didn't get it right down. But if you notice, he goes to the sideline and just snatches his helmet off immediately. Mm-hmm. He looks over at Sirianni. They don't have a good rapport right now. No. Remember, I texted you. I said, if you don't like that play, why don't you audible out of it?
Yeah.
You didn't like the play. So I think there is something to be said in the fourth quarter. I wonder if Jalen's running his own plays at that point. They just letting him just go and make his own moves because the game is over. But there's been a lot of bad calls early in the game. You know, we understand it's always going to be ostracized. When you underthrow and throw interceptions, it's always going to make you look really bad. But I think we may have a quarterback coach issue as far as just really understanding what's expected and playing to the strengths. Because I don't think right now, just watching Jalen Hurts' body language, I'm not sure if he believes in Sirianni. And I wonder if this goes back to training camp where it took so long for Sirianni to name a quarterback. So that's just something to keep in mind, the quarterback QB relationship going forward, because I think it's a problem. And when I seen Hurts snatch his helmet off and look over at the coach, I was like, man, whether the announcers caught it or not, that's a really big deal.
Right.
Moving forward, because the quarterback always needs maximum confidence.
Yeah, you texted me immediately as soon as you saw that and was like, you said that. Yeah, why doesn't he just call an audible out of it? And maybe he can't. And that could be a dynamic where Sirianni's like gotten giving him that freedom because it's only his 7th start, which is opposite of, like, say, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who came in and Andy Reid, our beloved former head coach, let Mahomes from day one be able to work within the offense and do what he can and work his own magic and being able to change the call at the line of scrimmage. And not a lot of head coaches would do that with a young
starter. Holmes significantly different. Cut you off, but the way Holmes significantly different when he played in that Red Raider offense at Texas Tech, he made those calls at the line all the time. It was a check down offense. It was a check, 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 check. He's constantly making all of those calls. They've been kind of running that Red Raider offense there for a long time, and it was that high risk, high reward offense. So I can see how Andy does that. Another thing is that he sat behind Alex Smith and Nick Foles for a little bit before he got his shot. So
not too long.
I hear you.
Not too long.
They are two different quarterbacks, but they also come from two different systems.
Right, right. I don't want to sell Jalen short too much because that's one question that we're going to have to ask ourselves after this game, and a lot of people are, because we're bringing it up. Is this on Jalen or is it on Nick? And is Jalen, do we think, I know it's early to say it, but do we think Jalen's the guy? Because if we have a rough season and we end up with one of the top three picks in the draft, is Jalen the guy? Or do we look at what's out there to try again at the quarterback position?
I think it's a bit early, I think it's right now a quarterback coach problem right now. I think it's something going on. I think they're having some trust issues, and I don't think they're on the same page as far as what they're seeing on the field at certain times. I just think it's something to look forward to, look out for.
Right.
Moving forward, I'm not going to get too crazy right now. Still a lot of games left. We got 14 games left.
Right.
Well, so
I have to
we'll
do
see.
It.
And we have a young team overall. You know, none of these guys really have experience with each other.
Right.
At a whole different level. You know, we have linemen going out. You know, Johnson hasn't been playing all that great. But as long as Hurts is underthrowing the ball and throwing those potential pick six on the island out there, he's always going to have to be called to the carpet, because those are things that he can control regardless of the play call. And you have to make that throw to Rager. You have to. You have to even throw the ball a little bit further to Watkins, and that may be a touchdown. There's so many ways you can go with Hurts when it comes to that deep ball. My biggest concern is him. It's that deep ball. We know he has the arm, but he just doesn't let it fly.
Right. And I have to ask those questions because the media are asking them. I don't necessarily believe it's time to ask those questions, but there's a lot of rumors, and I'm not a big fan of rumors. I'm like, don't tell me something until it's true. But then you look at the rumor and it starts piquing curiosity in your mind. You know, how long does this go on before he gets the hook? If he does get the hook,
right.
If he doesn't get along with Sirianni, does Flacco come in? The Deshaun Watson rumors are starting back up again because Sirianni seems like a Watson type player is more his guy. It's hard to say. So I think that if I step back from this loss, and I think that by the time it had gotten unmanageable by the fourth quarter, I don't think I was really crying as loud as I was playing that sound effect earlier. I was really just kind of like, oh, okay. This is us. This is us right now. And I tried to, it's me. You know me. I'm like one of the most negative Eagle fans in the world. You're always the one talking me off the ledge. I went to bed and I was like upset, but I was like, you know what? This is us. And I have hope. I think that if we fix those linebacker problems, we don't have a bad team. We just played really badly because we haven't, like you said, haven't come together. We have a offensive line that has two key injuries with Mailata and Brooks, and now we didn't even talk about Seumalo going out, which is our backup guard, gone. Landon Dickerson is banged up. Jack Driscoll, who
he didn't
came
have
in,
a good game last game against the Cowboys either.
No. So we're thin at line again, which we were so deep going into the season. Now we're back thin at line. Our receivers, though undersized, have speed. So we have to exploit that. And like you said, Hurts has to throw the ball with more oomph under it to take advantage of Rager's and Smith's speed. He has to start going to the tight end more. We have to start running the ball more. Three carries in a game is inexcusable. That's on the coach. That's not on Hurts. But we have to run the ball more, and we have to start running screens more to Gainwell and Sanders. Another bad called game by Sirianni again, but he's a rookie head coach. So I have to take a step back and go, you know what? It's not that bad. They're learning. We shouldn't have expected after the Atlanta game we didn't know a lot, but we shouldn't have expected anything more than what we're getting right now, because this is kind of what a lot of people expected. Hey, it's their first coach, first time head coach, first time offensive coordinator, first time defensive coordinator, seventh game starting, first time full-time starter for Hurts, rookie wide receiver. I can't be down. I can't be upset with that.
Yeah. Here's why I want to hold Sirianni at the highest level of responsibility, not just because he's the head coach. Here's why. You have Miles Sanders. You think he has a good rapport, Sirianni? He only gets the ball three times in this game, three carries. You think he's walking back to the locker room worrying about Jalen Hurts? Mm-hmm. Or is he like, what other quarterback is asked to only throw the ball and only hand the ball off three times a game? What quarterbacks are asked to do that? So it's so many things to unwind here before we get to Hurts. Like I said, I'm always going to hold Hurts accountable for his inability to be consistent on the long ball. And when he throws those quick out routes, I think sometimes he makes a decision too soon.
Right.
And we've seen it back-to-back weeks with Smith. But there's an overall, the play calling in general when we're on the one-yard line where we're like, what play was that? That sets the tone for so many other things. It's such a ripple effect in confidence along with the injuries on the line. So you have a player that's starting his seventh year. And the reason why I'm saying all this about Hurts is because we're to this point right now with our coaching staff and Wentz being gone because of the faith that Jeffrey Lurie has in Hurts.
Right.
So if it's week three and we're saying get rid of Hurts, well, he's the reason why we're in this situation to begin with, because exactly. of the belief that is there with the higher ups. So I think right now, man, how can a coach get away with running the ball only three times? What coach can get away with that?
All right, so let's run through the stats real quick and then move on to next week. Just like you said, first downs is the biggest one here. 12 for the Eagles, 27 for the Cowboys. It just doesn't get any worse. You know, total plays, 53 to 71. Yards were fairly close, but that was because we gave them a lot of penalties to help make up for that. You go through the passing yards. Hurts actually outpassed Dak Prescott, 303 to 220, but Dak didn't need to pass that much. 26 attempts to Hurts's 39, and a lot of that came in the fourth quarter in garbage time. And then yards per pass is fairly equal. Rushing yards, look at that, 64, and a lot of that was Hurts. I think in our rushing attack, we had three carries. So you had Jalen Hurts with 9 carries for 35 yards, and Miles Sanders 2 carries for 27 yards, and that's our 64 yards right there. But you look at the Cowboys, they had Zeke with 95 yards on 17 carries, Pollard with 60 yards on 11 carries, and then Prescott had 6 yards. So 160 yards on the ground, which is you just can't do and expect to win. Penalties, again, 13 of 86. Some of those are home cooking penalties, but that's what we expect when we play in Dallas, so that's no excuse there. And Cowboys only 4 penalties. But then the big one here is that we've been losing all year long is this time of possession battle, 25 minutes to 34 minutes that the Cowboys had the ball. Unbelievable. But, you know, bad stats, bad game. We got to move on. But before we do, let's hear from our quarterback. He did come out and take a lot of the blame for what occurred in the game against the Cowboys, and I will give him credit for that. He's not throwing his coach under the bus yet. He is putting it on himself. He's really trying to learn from these experiences and trying to let people know, hey, this is only my seventh game I've ever started in my career. He's got the talent. We've seen it on the field. We know he can make throws. We know that he can move in the pocket. So this is what Jalen Hurts had to say about the loss to the Cowboys and how he's dealing with it. Now, keep in mind, at the end of this, he has a comment that has gone particularly viral, and it's fairly funny. So we're going to talk about that after this. There we go.
The game plan was to come out and kind of keep pace with the Dallas offense. How did you guys get away from that?
I didn't execute. I didn't do a good enough job of leading. I didn't do a good enough job of running our offense, of doing the things that I need to do. So it's on me. This one's on me.
On the pick six,
what was going on? Like, why weren't we able to do that?
Things didn't go my way. Things didn't go our way. It's tough. And all I can do is take complete ownership for how I played and how it affected the team in the end. I got to do a better job, clearly.
Knowing that they wanted you to speak, they clearly care about what you have to say. You're taking a lot of accountability here. What would your message to your teammates be?
Learn from it and move on. I've said it a number of times, and I feel this way after every loss, you know. But I take responsibility for how this game went tonight. I take responsibility for that. I'm gonna learn from it, and I'm gonna learn from it. We're gonna be a better team from it. I believe that. I truly believe that. You know, you take your deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
Okay. That sounds like something Nick Saban said to him after a bad loss.
I don't know. I think that might go back to his high school days. Somebody had to have told him. So, yeah, that's a unique way of putting it. If you take a deuce, which is basically what the Eagles did on Monday night, you don't turn around and look at it. You flush it and you move on. And that's true. So in honor of that, I heard that Jalen Hurts actually really liked that comment so much that he decided that he was going to actually turn that into a song. So it's such a great comment. And he just put it to music. And that's what's great. Now, we may not get away with this for copyright issues, but the music is an old YouTube song from 2011, so it's licensed under YouTube. So we're going to hope that it plays. If your sound cuts out, I'm sorry. And if it gets taken out on one of the podcast services, I'm sorry. But I'm hoping that we get away with this. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's that new dance everyone's talking about. I want to show you how to do it. Follow my lead. Come on. Let it loose. Let it loose. Let it loose. Go and drop that deuce. Let it loose. Let it loose. Let it loose. Go and drop that deuce. Wipe your ass. Wipe your ass. Wipe your ass. Wipe your ass. Now flush. Now flush. Now flush. Now flush. Gotta take it and do it now, so I'm running around straight looking for a bathroom.
The song couldn't be any more appropriate.
I just drop my pants. I let it go while I'm sitting in my poop stance.
Splash, that's wild.
So the new hit from Jalen Hurts. Based on his...
I wonder what the dance to that is going to be.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I could imagine.
It's going to be the Randy Moss.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. From Jalen Hurts, drop that deuce here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So that was his outlook on it. Was like, hey, if you drop a deuce, you don't flush it. You turn around and you move on. And I got to agree with him. I'm going to say that's how it works. Is it you do move on. It may be a little bit crude way to put it, but it is how we do. And we're going to move on here from that game. That game's over. We got to move on to next week because we've got a lot to look forward to. Maybe another butt kicking. But before we get there, I do want to mention something that I saw on the news headlines. So we have a new segment here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast that we want to call the Stupid News. The Stupid News Headline of the Week. And new segment here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. And I have to say, I saw that this week, and I'm wearing my Nick Foles jersey, and I still love my boy Nick. He brought us a Super Bowl, so he'll always be near and dear to my heart. So when the media comes after him, I get a little bit upset. And this headline is probably one of the stupidest ones I've seen, and this is why we've started the new segment. From the Fan Insider, and a writer by the name of Anthony Armador, his headline was, Nick Foles caught bad-mouthing Justin Fields, Matt Nagy, as the Bears struggle. So here's the thing. I've got the article on screen here. So it's got the same thing. Chicago Bears fell to the Cleveland Browns on 26-6 on Sunday afternoon. With the defeat, Chicago sits 1-2 in the year, but that's the least of the Bears' problems. Making his first career start, Justin Fields struggled badly in place of an injured Andy Dalton. With Fields at the helm, the Bears only mustered 47 mere yards and 6 first downs of the day. Not great. If that wasn't bad enough, listen to this. Third-string quarterback Nick Foles was captured on camera bad-mouthing Fields amid his struggles. Quote-unquote, offense just isn't working. Foles could be seen saying, oh my God, that's horrible. Some online believe Foles started the statement with the word Matt, suggesting he was actually bad-mouthing head coach Matt Nagy. Are you kidding me? This is a story in the news media. Are you kidding me?
Drama sells.
Nick Foles caught bad-mouthing Justin Fields. They lucky they didn't see me standing on the sideline during the Eagles' loss to the Cowboys. They just saw more than just offense isn't working. They would have caught about 50,000 F-bombs. All Foles says, offense just isn't working. And then even if he said, Matt, offense just isn't working, how is that bad-mouthing Justin Fields? Explain that to me.
Just want some controversy yourselves, man.
Of course.
Chicago, big city. Nick Foles is always a storyline. You know, as that backup quarterback that's going to come in and save the day like he did the Eagles.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know how.
The storyline gets some attention.
Yeah, I don't know how they can get away with that. But it is. And that's our stupid headline of the week. And each and every week, I'm going to look for something just like that because I see so many of those out there. And a lot of times I just disregard them. Because I'm a Nick Foles fan, that one made me angry. And you could tell by my reaction to it. I was like, seriously, is that all you got to do behind your desk is make that into a web story? Give me a break. All right. On to another segment that I'm starting to enjoy doing each and every week on the Where Eagles Dare podcast is our meme of the week based on our opponent of the upcoming week, which coming up for week 4 will be the last place powder puff just pushovers, the Kansas City Chiefs. No problem there. But here's our meme of the week. It's something I found online. It cracks me up. We love our boy Andy Reid. And it just says, it's a picture of Andy Reid saying, damn it, I thought this place said KFC. Because we know our boy loves some KFC. Now, poor Andy got dehydrated during the Chargers loss. I think he was just embarrassed and he just wanted to be taken out of the stadium as quickly as possible after losing to the Chargers. I wouldn't make fun of Andy if it was anything serious. Believe me, the man's a saint and I love him for all he did for Philadelphia, but yeah, dehydrated and taken out of the stadium. Poor guy.
Yeah. That was wild when I seen that headline. First, you didn't know for like a day what was even wrong with him. You was just like, man,
yeah.
What's going on with Andy? You know he's not in the greatest shape, so you know it could be anything, though. Really, especially with you know with COVID, and you know he kind of fits that type of people who struggle with COVID.
Yeah,
you know, really big guys. You know, I don't know his health history and whatnot, but you know, we wish Andy all the well.
Yeah, we want to see him on the sidelines, especially coming back home to Philadelphia. It's always great to see Andy come back, and we got, of course, the Kelce brothers reuniting. And I kind of wish they weren't. I wish Travis wasn't making it for this game. But that is our matchup this week, and we're going to have to deal with it. We got to play the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at 1 o'clock at home. So we know we got home field advantage. They're 1-2. They're giving up a lot of points in their first three games. They squeaked by the Browns, but then lost in successive weeks to the Ravens, who came from behind, and then to the Chargers. A lot of points given up by the Chiefs. So let's break down and see what Tubby says his keys are to victory for this week if the Eagles have a chance against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Basically, limiting time in the pocket for Patrick Mahomes. Just try to get him to force some of those bad throws. The last two losses that Kansas City has had has come from some of those plays where they get an interception here or there with the no-look throws or some just the forced throws, basically trying to replicate what Tampa did to him in the Super Bowl, but easier said than done.
Gotcha. Next one, establish an offensive identity. What do we do best?
Yeah, man. What do we do best? I'm not really sure right now. The offense has been running through Hurts. You know, our best plays have been him on the bootleg or maybe extending the play here or there. I want to see our team come out and establish some type of identity so we can at least walk away from the game and see what we can work on as a team. When it comes to Hurts, hopefully he's hitting that deep ball. He's opening up the playbook. I don't want Hurts to continue to have three or four carries. I'm sorry, giving his running backs three or four carries. We change quarterbacks, and all of a sudden we're running the ball 30 times with our running back. So I just want to establish some type of offensive identity, no matter who's our quarterback.
Gotcha. All right, next is stopping Kelce, which we talk about. Linebackers are struggling right now.
I just think this is going to be the key to Kansas City. Just giving the ball to Kelce. I expect him to have 12 to 15 catches, because why not? That's our weakest spot. They see what Jarwin and Schultz did. And they know they have a really big matchup with, you know, in my opinion, the best tight end in the game, who just draws so much attention for anything, even for a good defense that is known and been together. So stopping Kelce is going to be key if we even think about having success against Kansas City.
Makes sense. I think that Kelce, after what Schultz did to us, if Kelce doesn't break off 120 or more yards and a couple touchdowns, then they haven't looked at the tape of what the Cowboys did to us with their tight end. I think if you've got Kelce on your fantasy team, you're probably going to win this week, because he's going to put up a ton. I should to put up a ton of points. And finally, the last of Tubby's keys to victory is limiting the penalties. Oh my goodness, that's a big one. Go ahead, Tubby.
I think this is going to stay there all year, because it's been our problem so far, our biggest problem, 35 penalties in the first three games, which is a franchise record. Yeah, 13 penalties against Dallas. So, you know, at some point, it doesn't matter how the other team is playing. If you're committing 13 penalties and extending drives, it doesn't matter who you're playing. So we don't limit our penalties. We're going to struggle throughout the year, period. And a lot of those come from bonehead plays, you know, those non-skill plays, just being focused and into the game. We change that, I think we can have a lot more success. But until we change that, that's going to be always an underlying problem for us the rest of the year.
I agree, because we've talked about it after the Atlanta game. Even though they won, we talked about the bonehead penalties, that cleaning that up, and especially after the 49er game. So to see that in Dallas, and we knew they were going to get bad calls. I don't want to say it's all bad calls, but we know that Dallas gets home cooking. That's how it is. We accept it. And we know that we got to win in spite of that. A lot of teams do get home cooking, and that's how it goes. But to have that many penalties against Dallas for 87 yards, it's just something that they've got to fix going in. So I think that you're on point with all of these. I think that for the Eagles to even stand a chance against Kansas City, they have to do all of these things and more. Because like you said, offensively, we don't even know what's going to happen. What I was surprised about with the Dallas, what I heard what Sirianni said, was the reason that he passed so much was that he wanted to come out and shoot it out with Dallas, because he knew that's what they were going to do. Unfortunately, that's not what a head coach should do. And again, he's a rookie. And I'm not saying I could do anything better. I'm just saying that the consensus amongst people in the know is that if you're going into your rivals' home stadium, you're going to run the ball a little bit. You're going to try to keep possession and keep it out of their high-powered offense's hands. And the last thing you want to do is get in a shootout with them. You want to be able to work in those plays, and it didn't happen. So against the Chiefs, it'll be interesting to see if it goes the other way. Because my thing is him being a first-year coach, it would not surprise me if Nick Sirianni ends up running the ball 30 times and passing 20 against the Chiefs, to try to say, okay, we screwed that up against Dallas, now let's go the other way and see what works. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. One thing I do know is your third point, our linebackers are going to struggle to stop Kelce and anybody else over that middle. So if you've got Tyreek Hill on your fantasy team, which I do in one, I don't have in our league, he's going to get those slants that's going to be zone beaters, and he's going to be gone. And we got to bring up that somebody else who might be on the field, don't know what he's going to do because he does this every single year, it seems like. But the Chiefs just signed Josh Gordon. So now we've got that to contend with. He's going to be on the field. It looks like he's going to play Sunday. So now we've got Tyreek Hill, Hardman, and Gordon to contend with, along with all their other weapons. So with their running back, Edwards-Helaire, to deal with as well, who we showed we couldn't stop. We couldn't stop Pollard and Zeke. What makes me think we're going to stop Edwards-Helaire when he's running the ball really well right now? So, yeah, it doesn't look good. But with the one thing I think that we do have that's a glimmer of hope is two things that the Chiefs have been doing this year defensively, and that's allowing a lot on the ground, a lot of running yards on the ground, and they've also been turning the ball over quite a bit. They had four turnovers against the Los Angeles Chargers, which against that offense, you definitely do not want to do. Now, the Eagles had just the one turnover against Dallas. That was their first turnover of the year, was that end zone interception by Fletcher Cox. So they're going to need some turnovers if they're going to beat the Chiefs. So that's Tubby's keys to victory. We're going to take a quick look at the injury report. Right now, the Eagles injury report reads like this. It's getting bigger and bigger each and every week. We've got Fletcher Cox, who is questionable with a lower body injury, probably will play. Rodney McLeod, questionable. Let's hope he's back in there because we lost Kevon Wallace, who was filling in for him, and now he is on injured reserve until week 7. We lost Isaac Samalo, our backup guard, who is now on injured reserve. He's out for the year. Jack Driscoll, who was playing a little bit of tackle, he's got a pectoral issue. He's out until week 4. So we are very thin on the offensive line, like we said earlier. One of our backup corners is questionable or on injured reserve until week 4, which he should be. That's this week, so they both should be coming back. Jordan Mailata is out again, probably questionable. He's not out for the Kansas City game. He's questionable with the knee. All signs point that it's a sprain, an MCL sprain, and that he might suit up for Kansas City, and do they need him? Because Andre Dillard on that left tackle spot is a liability, especially when you're facing an outside pass rush like the Chiefs have. And then Davion Taylor, a linebacker again. Our linebackers are weak and thin, so we can use all we have, but he's questionable for week 4. On the Chiefs side of the ball, it's not as bad for them, which kind of stinks for us. Frank Clark is questionable, but if he's out there and he'll be rushing that left side, that's going to be a lot to deal with. And the big one for the Chiefs is Willie Gay is still out, but he's expected to return this week against Philadelphia. They haven't said for sure, and of course we're not going to know until game time. So for them, if Frank Clark and Willie Gay both play, that just spells trouble for the Eagles all the way around. It's not a good situation right now. They're fully healthy and we're banged up and we're needing a win, and they're 1-2 and it's a must win for them. This is not looking good on our end, but what are we going to do? After that, it gets even better. And I mean that as sarcastically as I can for the Eagles. The upcoming games, we got the Panthers coming. We're actually going to Carolina on October 10th, Sunday at 1 p.m. And then week 6, the Buccaneers come to the Eagles. I believe that's a Sunday night game, which will be a lot of fun. Tom Brady, he shouldn't light up our defense too much. And then the week after that, we go to Las Vegas, which is good for the Eagles because then they can go out and party and have a good time, because they might as well, because they're going to face a Raiders team that is firing on all cylinders right now. So look at those records. We got the 3-0 Panthers, the 2-1 Buccaneers, who, you know, just playing really well. They lost to the Rams, but that was a good game up until the end. And then we've got the 3-0 Raiders, who are playing out of their minds right now with Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and company. And then we get to maybe a respite on Halloween, week 8, at Ford Field in Detroit. The Eagles go to play the Lions, who are currently 0-3 and not much better than we are. So we might stand a chance in that game. But I don't even count that one as a gimme or a lock, if you will. Unbelievable what we got going on.
Yeah, man. With this upcoming matchup, I mean, you really you said it, man. You I don't want to belabor it, but Panthers, we could probably sweep out one against the Panthers. Tampa is going to be tough. The Raiders, you know, they could be hot or cold. That's going to be an incredibly tough game because they are playing well, but they do have injuries at the running back position. And the Lions are kind of unlucky as well this year. They haven't played terrible. They haven't won any games, but they got caught a terrible break last week. Yeah. 66-yard field goal in the 3rd and 19.
The Ravens at the end of that game for the Lions should have been called for delay of game, similar to what happened to us against the 49ers. So that field goal should have been a 72-yard field goal or a 71-yard field goal. Instead, it was 66, and we know what Tucker did. It was amazing. Yeah, bad luck for the Lions, again, to do that, come from behind and take the lead and then just get beat. It's bad.
I think if you come out of these four games 2-2, we're laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing is if you could beat the Panthers by some miracle, because I don't know if McCaffrey's going to play that game or not. That's not a given. And then to beat the Lions would be huge. And so, yeah, I don't. 2-2, I'll take it. If you could tell me, guarantee me right now, 2-2, I'll take it over taking my chances with anything else. So, yeah, so that's what the Eagles have in store for the next few weeks. And we will be here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, win or lose, to discuss what we think of each and every one of those matchups and give you the report on it. All right. Looking at the fantasy, it wasn't that great for the Eagles players in fantasy. This is a representation of my team I am in Tubby's fantasy league, and I lost again. Lost to Tubby last week, lost to again this week. I just didn't put up a lot of points. Derek Carr got me 34, Metcalf 22, and Chase 22, but then it dropped off after there. I had Nick Chubb at 8 points. Miles Sanders, big one, again, 8 points, still considering he only ran the ball twice, but he had four targets in the pass game, so three receptions and 28 yards receiving, so at least he got me 8 points. And then Jalen Hurts actually had 27 and 5.54 as a quarterback, which wasn't bad. He threw for 326 yards and two passing TDs. I think, though, going forward, it's really going to be hard to trust any Eagles in your lineup if you're going to do that. You have Devontae Smith. He had, what do you have, 40 yards receiving this week, or was it less than that?
He got me minimum. I started him this week as well, and it was a bad call. So, yeah, I'm going to have to cool out. He still gets six targets a game, so it's still worth a start in a lot of leagues. If you got a wide receiver getting 6 to 8 targets a game, you know, it's pretty good. But the execution just isn't there right now. And I feel you. If you have Miles Sanders, it's like one game to the next. You're not really sure what the Eagles are running because they have no identity.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I started Miles Sanders against the Cowboys is that going into that game, they had given up a lot on the ground. And yet our coach did not exploit that. And you saw when Sanders had the ball, the two times he had it, he ran the ball well. And yet we didn't take advantage of that. So now I'm like, what do I do with Miles Sanders? I don't even know. So I can tell you, I benched Gibson, who had 17 points, 73 of those receiving yards. I think I'm just going to stick with Gibson unless I can get another option here in fantasy. So I would recommend anybody that has Eagles going forward, especially against the Chiefs coming up, you may want to sit them and let them ride the pine and play your stronger players unless you ain't got anybody better. Last thing, we like each and every week we talk about a picks game that we run here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. The picks game is done by friends of the podcast who've been doing this with us for a very long time. And if you want to be a part of that, all you have to do is give us a like or a follow on any one of the platforms that we're on. That's Facebook, as well as Twitch, as well as YouTube. And then all of the podcast streamers that we're on, which is Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, iTunes, or Castro. Give us a like and subscribe on one of those. And then next season, you'd be able to enter the picks game. What we do is we put $50 down for an entire season, and then we pick games against the spread, all the pro games, three college games, and you get 10 points for a correct answer, a correct pick, and then you get minus 10 for an incorrect pick, and then you have one pick each and every week that is worth 20 points, and that's your lock of the week. So right now, after 3 weeks of the season, I'm still hanging on by just a little tiny hair's breadth for first place there in the league. I went 11-5 against the spread in pro, which I've been doing really well this year. I had been doing 6-0 in college until this week, and I had to go and brag on it last week. And then I went 0-3 in college this week. And I missed my double, which was I had Vegas versus the Dolphins. And the Vegas was covering that until the very end when Jacoby Brissett threw the touchdown to tie it and send it into overtime. Because the Vegas was favored by 5, and they tied it and blew my point spread. Otherwise, I would have had an even better week. But I'm still at the top with 120. And then right behind me is Doc Goings at 80. And in third place, Darren Muir with 40, Dustin Schmidt with 20 at 4, tied with Justin Livingston. Actually, Justin Livingston, I had an error on his sheet. He's actually in fourth place. And Dustin Schmidt and Roger Adamson are tied at 5th with 20 points. So this week, I want to run down my picks for the week real quick and let you know who I am taking. I am not guaranteeing these. I'm just saying I'm really hot right now. So if you want to take a chance, that's up to you. I don't endorse gambling. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-STOP-GAMBLING-NOW. Like I say every time as a disclaimer before I read these off. So this week, we've got Cincinnati on the Thursday night game giving 7.5 points to Jacksonville. I am going to take Jacksonville in the under on that. It's just because Jacksonville is technically getting 8 points, so I got to go with them. Washington is giving 1 point at Atlanta. I'm going to take the Redskins because I don't really like what the Falcons have shown us in the early parts of the season. They did beat the Giants, thank you very much, but I don't know if they can go 2-for-2 in the NFC East this week because they already lost to the Eagles. Chicago is giving 3 points at home to Detroit. I'm actually going to take Detroit in this, and it's really because of the way Chicago played last week. They have a great defense, but man, they did not look good last week against the Browns. Tennessee giving 8 on the road to the Jets. The Jets are just god-awful, got blown out by Denver. I'm going to take Tennessee in 8. Cleveland giving 2 at Minnesota. Got to go with Cleveland. Minnesota beat Seattle, I get it, but they always tend to go up and down, so I'm going to take Cleveland in the 2. Miami giving 2 at home to Indianapolis. I'm going to take the Colts in that one. I'm going to get, being down 0-3, I think that if Wentz plays, I think he's got a chance to beat a Tua-less Miami Dolphins squad. I know Jacoby Brissett played well last week, nearly beat the Raiders, but I'm going to go with the Colts on that one. Dallas giving 5 to Carolina at home. I just got to go with Dallas on that one after their strong showing against Philly. New Orleans giving 8 to the New York Giants. I'm going to take the Giants on the road because the New Orleans Saints seem to be up and down. I think the Saints will win, but I think it'll be a close one. Kansas City giving 7 at Philadelphia. I hate to say it. They're giving a touchdown to us. I am taking the Chiefs, and I am making it my lock of the week, unfortunately. I just do not see Patrick Mahomes and company being down 1-2 and not coming in ready for this game where I think the Eagles are searching for something. I hope I'm wrong. I will be gladly wrong to give up my lock of the week and lose 20 points if the Eagles can prove me wrong. Please do so. Moving on, we got the Buffalo Bills giving 16.5. to the Texans, and surprisingly, I'm going to give those 16.5 points to Houston because I think at home the Bills are just an unbelievable team right now. The Rams giving 4.5 to Arizona. I'm going to take Arizona. That's going to be a great offensive shootout, I think, and it could come down to a field goal. San Francisco at home giving 3 to Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle because I am not impressed with San Francisco as much. They kind of struggled with Green Bay, lost, and I like what Seattle's doing. Coming off of a loss to Minnesota, I think they're going to be fired up. Baltimore getting 1.5. At Denver, I'm going to take Baltimore. I know my buddy Dustin Schmidt will not like that because he's a big Broncos fan, but I'm going to take Baltimore coming out and getting the win there. Green Bay, 6.5 at home against Pittsburgh. I'm going to take the Packers because the Pittsburgh, start talking about searching for an identity like we are. After losing 24-7 to your rival, the Bengals, the Pittsburgh's looking for an identity right now. Tampa Bay giving 6.5 at New England. This is the big game on Sunday night with Brady coming back home. Do you think Brady coming back home to New England, to Foxborough, does not have a little bit of something to prove? I think that could be really, really ugly. So I'm going to go ahead and take Tampa Bay, given 16.5. And then the Monday night game should be a barn burner. LA Chargers given 3.5 to Las Vegas. Chargers are the home team. I am going to take Las Vegas just because I like what both teams are doing. And again, I think it could be a field goal difference. So you might as well take the under on that one. For my college picks, I've got Florida giving 8.5 to Kentucky. I'll take Florida. Cincinnati giving 2.5 to Notre Dame. Surprisingly, I'm going to take Cincinnati on the road. I like what they've been doing on defense this year. And then Oklahoma State at home giving 4 to Baylor. I'm going to go with the Cowboys at Oklahoma State, which I don't normally go with the Cowboys, but I will the ones from Oklahoma State. And that's our picks for week, my picks for week four. So your pick, I know you heard mine for the Chiefs game. I know I'm a traitor. You can say it. But what's your pick for Sunday with the Chiefs and the Eagles?
You know, I just want the game to at least be enjoyable. they can keep it within 10 points, man. I think that'll be very promising. But you just never know. But there's no kidding, man. The Kansas City Chiefs are the favorite here. I mean, legendary coach and Andy Reid coming back to Philly. And they're on the two-game losing streak. That's what scares me the most. If they're riding high 3-0, they come in a little overconfident. Two losses.
I know.
We're going to get the best Kansas City Chiefs then. I do believe. I think we're going to get the best of them. As far as the prediction and score, I don't know. Maybe a 2-touchdown game. I really see it get out of hand like that, man, especially with the ability to not stop Kelsey. If we stop Kelsey, then anything's possible, but I just can't see it, man. If they game plan right, and we know Andy loves to go to the tight end, and that's our weakness right now, so it's scary.
That's the way I see it. I hate to see it that way. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we come out of there. If the Eagles were to be at home and make the Chiefs 1-3, they gain a little bit of respect back that they lost in Dallas. If they lose, then people just go, well, it's the Eagles. They already got blown out by Dallas, so they lose. So they really have nothing to lose in this game. It is all up to them to come out and prove everybody wrong. If you look up and down to every prognosticator, every publication that picks this game is already said that there's no chance. The Eagles have no chance. Well, guess what? In 2017, they said that about an Eagles team that was short a franchise quarterback, an MVP candidate quarterback, and we had no chance of beating Atlanta, Minnesota, or the Patriots, and we did. So never say never. Never say there's no chance. I'm putting money on it. I'm taking the Chiefs. But I will always be hopeful. Sunday, I will be in front of the TV, just like you will be, and we'll be texting back and forth to say, hey, this game really sucks. I'm just kidding. We're going to say, hey, go Eagles. Go Eagles, go Birds, fly Eagles fly, all that. We're going to say that. So just want to say real quick before we go, if you want to email us, give us some comments or suggestions, or even just ask a question, you can do so at our email address at Lee, that's L-E-E dot Bird, B-Y-R-D dot Eagles Dare, one word, at gmail.com. You can reach us there, and we'd like to hear from you if you want to give us a shout out or anything like that. Even if you want to just say hi, and we'll be glad to mention your name on the podcast. Again, don't forget to follow us. If you're watching us on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, give us a follow. Like the page so that we know you're out there. And always, you know, stay engaged with us. If you want to send us messages through those platforms, we're always happy to do so. Especially on your basic podcast providers. Make sure you subscribe to us on there. So, as I do each and every week, any parting words from you, Tubby?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And I have to follow that up with a big go Birds. And we'll see you next week on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Thanks for joining us.